نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا. صدق الله العظيم. At times it's difficult to speak in the masjid. I'm thinking of a riwayat where one person was giving bayan in Masjid Nabawi. It was the time of Hazrat Umar al-Faruq radiallahu anhu. And the person was giving bayan, our spiritual mother, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, sent a message to Umar. Tell Umar, tell this man, don't talk in the masjid, because he's raising his voice and he's disturbing me. So at times, we must be very careful when we speak in the masjid, must not disturb the musalli. And so it's the same reason you'll find that ulama says, when the imam finishes salah, and he make dua, he must not make dua loud, because some musalli come late, they're trying to catch up, we disturb those musalli. So we must make the ayat of the musalli when we come to masjid. Last week we spoke about shauq, the desire to meet Allah, the desire to see Allah, the desire to get Allah into our heart, to contain Allah in our heart, to have this feeling of muhabbat of Allah in our heart. And we see there are two stages of the salik, the person who tread the path of the tasawwuf. There are two stages he's going to go through. One is the stage of shauq. Shauq is a temporary feeling in our heart. It's passing by. We feel like crying in the beginning stage. We cry a lot. But this is not the objective of Sharia, that we pass our life in crying. This is not the objective of Sharia. It's just a hal that goes in our heart and it fades away. And when it fades away, this is where many people feel that spiritually they have gone down. This is a dhoka from shaitan. Allah haven't sent us here to get this feeling in our heart. The main point is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After we pass this phase, there's another phase that we call ishtiyaq, or certain ulama call it uns. Uns is a phase where even though you have got what you want, that is you start feeling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart, but yet the longing persists until it ends up onto muhabbat. And we discussed last week that muhabbat, there is no love for the muhabbat of Allah. There is no limit for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It goes beyond our imagination, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes his banda. But before we get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is one prescription that we must understand. And this is the rock bottom of tasawwuf. This is the rock bottom of our heart purification. This is the foundation of our spiritual escalation. This is mujahada, to make mujahada. Ulama explained, a person who cannot make mujahada, forget about tasawwuf. A person who is not prepared to make mujahada, forget about purifying his heart. What is the meaning of mujahada? Mujahada, from the word jahada in Arabic, which means to strive physically. This is where you get the word jihad as well. But in this context that we are talking here, in the light of a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the greatest jihad is a jihad a person makes against his own nafs, against his own desires. Based on this hadith, ulama have said that mujahada means, I found two explanations given in the books of the ulama. One group of ulama says mujahada means to wean away all our habitual practices and oppose our desires which are permissible to eat, but the moment we feel that we are still hungry but we have eaten enough to survive, we stop it. The other group of ulama have said that it's not only those things which are permissible, but even the thing which are impermissible also we must make a lot of mujahada. So the point here is, one is addressing the awam, the layman who wants to understand that it strives in not fulfilling our desires. The other group are forgetting about the layman. They're talking of a higher level, which is for the khawas. That is, those people have already on the path of purifying themselves, but they are not doing bad things, but they are doing good things. But even then, they must not eat a lot, they must not drink a lot, they must not talk a lot, they must not sleep a lot. There's so many things, the permissible things, you must make mujahada in that as well. This is why the difference between the opinions of the ulama, one is addressed in a general format, The other one is focus mainly of those who are already on the path of suluk. Why this is important, the mujahada? Because the ayat I quoted in front of you, ulama explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, those of the people who fight is strive in our path. It's striving in our path. Again, this ayat is arm, it's applied, it's umum, it's applied in various ways. Various ways you can apply to strive in the path of Allah. I'm going to give a few examples later. Those who strive in our path, we're going to open our their heart. We're going to give them guidance. And guidance have many, many ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can manifest His light in our heart. Just ponder upon one thing, that Allah who has given this radiance in the moon, this Allah who has given the light in the sun, if He manifests His nur in our heart, what will happen to our heart? This is what the gift Allah is taking, is talking here. Those who strive in our path, those who crush their desires, those who combat their desires for our pleasure, even those things which are made permissible on them, they try to control it. Those people, I'm going to open their heart. I'm going to put nur of hidayat in their heart. I'm going to put peace, tranquility, solace in their heart. This is what the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who make mujahada. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept unlimited peace of mind for those people in their heart. This is why I mentioned last week, if only the great politician knew what the heart of the awliya contains, the peace of in the heart of the Ahlullah, they will mobilize the entire army to steal it from their heart. They haven't got a clue what is the peace of mind that their awliya, the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah has. Today is a simple example. Let us take the normal society we're living in. The latest thing you will find is people are walking with a music. If he cannot walk with the music, he's walking with a book. If he's not walking with a book, he's smoking a cigarette. If he's not smoking a cigarette, he becomes bechain. People cannot sit for 10 minutes. People cannot sit for 10 minutes, observe society. Because why? There is no chain in the heart. Today people are living on sleeping pills. They can't do without sleeping pills. I've seen people crying because they cannot sleep at night. Why? Because no peace of mind. Whereas the Ahlullah, he will read, Allahumma bi'ismika amutu wa ahya, and he's gone. He just says, Allahumma bi'ismika amutu wa ahya. Oh Allah, on no name I live, I die, and on your name I'm going to wake up. And he is going. He's going. This is Ahlullah. They just put their head and they sleep. They don't need pills. They don't need pills, Ahlullah. They don't need a TV at home to watch up to 11, 12 o'clock to be able to sleep. Today, this is the halat which is prevailing in our society. No peace of mind. Whereas Ahlullah, the person who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has this peace of mind. There are few things which Allah has kept in Jannah, but few things Allah kept give it to in this world itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give. So mujahada, to struggle, to combat our desires for the pleasure of Allah, this is a stepping stone to get the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the soul, our ruh, has two diseases. If you observe our heart, we'll find there are two things that will prevent us. It is a disease everybody got in him. The first one is our nafs inside has a desire to commit sin, has a desire to go in excess of things. And the second disease our heart got is it does not like to obey. Today's time, look at small children. Parents are coming and complaining. Molana, he doesn't listen to me. Why he doesn't listen? Because this is human nature. If we haven't tailored, we haven't monitored this child, we haven't made his tarbiyat, this is a natural consequence of nafs, to disobey, to rebel. For this reason, Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that the feeling of man inside is of three levels. The feeling we have in our heart are three levels. The feeling that will push us to act will be of three levels, three qualities. The first one is a person who has monitored himself, who has controlled himself, and spiritually has grown up. He developed the quality of the malaika, the angelic qualities. He will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not even a mustahabat, he will allow things to happen. The second one is the quality of shaitan. Shaitan is very mischievous. That is the quality of fighting and rebelling. The third one is the animalistic quality. If you look at animals behave, this is how we behave. In fact, Shaul al-Dahlawi, rahmatullah alayh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him kash. When he used to come in masjid, he could see the qualities of animals in human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unveiled it for him. For example, the quality of arrogance, which you get in certain animals. The quality of anger, which you get in certain animals. The quality of bitterness, of enmity, which you got in certain animals. He could see it in human beings. This is not something far-fetched. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala once was giving bayan for Jummah, khutbah, and people were coming on their way. They were watching at woman. He said, "Oh, you people, you come in the house of Allah and you have your eyes are committing zina." He could see it in the eyes of people. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi reported when people, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a person performs wazu, when he washes his hands, his limbs, those small guna goes away. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi could see the sins of people, and he used to raise his hand to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, take this away from me, because I can see the sin of other people." So it's not far-fetched that this type of spiritual thing manifests to certain people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unveil it for them. So I was saying that our heart got two diseases. One is it refuses to obey. The second one is it is inclined towards sin. And this is why mujahada becomes important to bring this balance. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it in us? Because you can only appreciate by opposites. A person can only appreciate darkness when he sees light. And he can only appreciate light when he has gone through darkness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put opposites so that we can appreciate the good. And we keep away from the bad. This is why mujahada comes into play. This is striving in the path of Allah becomes a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we strive in the path of Allah, with the gift that we're going to get in the call of Ahlullah, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlightens the internal faculties in contemplation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given people three faculties. The first one is quwwat-e ghazabiyya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given men the faculty of getting angry. But this anger must be moderated. If it is too much, then we become zalim. We become oppressors. And if we don't manifest our quality of anger, we let people dominate upon us, we become the oppressed. But if we have a balance in our anger, then we become a brave person. A brave person. Again, this is when we have a balance in us. The second quality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in us, the second faculty is the quwwat-e shahwiyya, the quality of desires. Men have impulses in him, faculty of sexual desires, the faculty to eat, and many other things. If a man does not control this, he will involve in incest. He will involve, if I give you the statistics, you will get the shock of your life. One European country, out of every 10 girls, their father having incest with them, 50%. It has reached the score of 50% in one of the European countries. When you have no control over your own sexual passion. On the other hand, if a person doesn't want to satisfy his desires, then what happened to him? Then he will not procreate. There will be no progress in society. This also is not good. Whereas if a person get married and satisfy his sexual desires within limits of Sharia, then he develops the quality of chastity. So one, the quality of bravery. The second one is the quality of chastity. The third thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in man, the third faculty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in man is what you call the quwwat of intellect, aqliya, quwwat-e aqliya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this faculty. When a man uses his brain outside the jurisdiction of his brain, outside the limit he's supposed to use it, then he will develop arrogance in him, he'll become like Iblis. But when he doesn't use his intellect, he becomes an imbecile, he becomes a stupid. But when a person acquires and uses his intellect, acquires the right knowledge, and uses his intellect with a balance, then he develops wisdom in him, hikmah. So when a person makes mujahada, these are the three things that he's going to develop in him. He's going to develop the quality of bravery, he's going to develop the quality of chastity, and he's going to develop the quality of hikmah, of wisdom. Now each one is a topic on its own. When we have time, we're going to talk on each one, inshallah. So this is the benefit of making mujahada, of killing our desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if we ponder properly, the main problem when killing our desires, the ulama explain, that's very, very important. Man gets enticed, man gets carried away by his perception of being acclaimed. What I mean by that is, when we make mujahada, many a time our nafs will trick us that, oh, today I've kept roza. But everybody kept Ashura 2 days, I kept 3 days, even today I've kept roza. Great thing, now I'm going to tell everybody. Right? What is happening now? Our nafs is playing against us. Our desires is playing with us. We're getting trapped in that. There was a great wali of Allah. For how many years he always did namaz the first saf? How many years he did namaz the first saf? It so happened one day, he did namaz the last saf. He came late. For a few days he never came masjid. The musalli went to see him, say, "Bhai, what happened?" He said, "I'm really perturbed with myself. I thought I was reading namaz for Allah. But it so happened I missed my namaz, I read namaz at the back. And the thought that came into my mind, what people would say after so many years, first time they see me in namaz. So my namaz, my tawajju, my mujahada that I was making to read namaz the first time was not for Allah's pleasure. It was concentrated on what is the opinion of people about me." So making mujahada also, there is a trick of shaitan, the trick of nafs there also. There was another wali of Allah, his name was Abu Muhammad al-Murta'ish. He said, "I've been going for Hajj, walking Hajj, without any provision." How many Hajj he made? How many Hajj he made? Mujahada, barefoot, going for Hajj, in the heat of Arabia, no food. What a mujahada. He said, "One day, my mother asked me for a jug of water. I felt it very, very burdensome." So then I realized all my Hajj is a waste of time. Because the Hajj was Nafil, this one was Faraz. I have given priority over Nafil because I was getting pleasure in that. It was not for the pleasure of Allah. If I have really monitored my nafs, I would have run to make the khidmat of my mother. This is why we understand the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I want to go in jihad." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Do you have a parent?" Say, "Yes." "Go and make the khidmat of your parent. This is your jihad." Because going in jihad to be shahada, to be a shaheed, was something. We think we are making mujahada. We're going in the path of Allah, but the nafs is playing with us. Rasulullah sallam rectified him. Say, no. Where is your priority? Don't let your nafs overpower you. Don't let your ego overpower you. This is where when we make mujahada, this is what the purpose of mujahada is, to clean our mind against all those things, to even those things which are permissible. This is what the ulama says, a salik, a person who tried the path of tasawuf, even the permissible thing, he wants to make mujahada on that. When we make mujahada, there are two things we have to keep in mind. There are two types of mujahada. There are two types of mujahada. The first one is a mujahada, what we call a physical mujahada. A striving which is physical. What does this mean? It means that physically, we monitor our desires. Physically. Example, we like to eat much. To remove the desire to eat, if we read the life of our Buzurganidin, what they used to do, they used to take a cup of tea, very nice, then they put it on the tap, full water with it, to remove the taste from it. So they bring the taste under control. But Imam Al-Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, in those days they were very strong, they were doing that, but Mawlana Masoola Khan Sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi, and other elders says, don't try to do what the elders were doing, because it's too advanced for us. Physically, we are not strong to do all those things. So we have to have some limits. So I was telling you, there are two types of mujahada. The first one is known as mujahada e jismani. That is your physical mujahada that a person will make. We'll find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was encouraging the Sahaba kiram to do tahajjud salah. And he himself was doing long namaz in salah. Right? This is the physical. Why we make that? Why do we make this? To train our body to face difficulties. To train our bodies to face difficulties. To take those difficult circumstances so that when the real test comes, we are ready for it. And this type of mujahada is sunnah. But there is one which is more important, a type of striving which is more important, which is known as nafsi mujahada, that is opposition. In our heart, all the desires that we have, which are permissible as well, we fight against it. We fight against these desires as well. This is very, very important. For this reason, you find in hadith, a sahabi came to Rasulullah saying in a hadith, "Oh youngster, those of you who can get married, and for the one who cannot get married, he must fast." Because this fast will help him to control his internal sexual desires. Again, this is very, very important. And this internal one, the anger, you shatter by anger, but you reply with a good morale. This is what mujahada is. The person is to be blamed, but you keep quiet. You give him the benefit of doubt. Your brother stole your money in the inheritance. You say, "No, I'm going to forgive him." Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, look at the vision of the great Akabir. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he was one of the leading alim in the time of the Mu'tazila. Mu'tazila was those open-mindedness, if I can use this word. They will apply logic in everything, in the Quran and Sunnah, everything. Anything that goes against logic, they were not taking. So it was a time during the Banu Abbasiyah where they were the ruling caliphs. So they were discussing the masla of takhliq al-Quran. Is the Quran a creation of Allah or is the Quran a sifat of Allah? Big masla, I don't want to go into details. So he says, "No, Quran is a kalam of Allah, is a sifat of Allah, is an attribute of Allah, is a quality of Allah, emanating from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What you write is just a representation of that." So it was against what the authority was saying. So because it was against that, they started executing all the ulama who were against them. So it came to the time of the turn of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. So what happened in that time? They tell him, the ulama went to see him, "Please, there was it. Sharia allows you to save your life, to compromise." And they quote him whatever hadith. He said, "Why are you people quoting me this? Why don't talk about those people in the past that was dig, they were put into the sand and saw was passed over their head, but yet they didn't move from haq, from the truth? Why don't quote me this as well?" So he stood against the regime. Finally, he was about 77 years old. They ordered to whip him. He was 77 years old. They ordered to whip him, the caliph, 36 times. 36 times. That time it is reported Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, at the age of 77, used to make 300 rakat nafil at night. When they whip him, he could read only 150 rakat nafil. Mujahada. Just think where we are. Where is our iman? Where are those people? Now, when the doctor was looking after him, trying to press him or whatever, say, "Ya Allah, forgive the Khalif. Ya Allah, forgive the Khalif." The doctor said, "You're a Ajib person. He's he whipping you and you say, 'Allah, forgive him.'" He said, "Yes. This Khalif is from Banu Abbasiyah. Banu Abbasiyah is from the progeny of Abbas radiallahu anhu. Abbas radiallahu anhu was the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What face I'll have in front of Allah on the day of Qiyamah to face his uncle? I want this masla to finish here. I don't want to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah." This is mujahada that we are talking. Look at the vision that the Kabir had in mujahada. We are very far from that. Very far. Understand the concept of mujahada. This is striving the path of Allah. It's not just a girl is passing, "I'm going to mujahada now, I'm going to look down," and then you check like this. That's not mujahada. That's not mujahada. Understand the concept of mujahada, the concept of striving to control our desires. If we can't do that, we cannot go in the path of suluk. So these are the two types. The second one that I'm saying, where you got to control yourself internally, this is wajib. Ulama say it's wajib, because it's going to prevent you from sin. Now, where we're going to differentiate which one to make mujahada, ulama explain, there are two benefits there. There are two types of benefits that a nafs can have, Sharia has given. One is known as hukuk, rights. The right to eat, the right to sleep. And Sharia says it's first to observe this hukuk, because Rasulullah says, وَلِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ. Another hadith, ulama explained, وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ. Your body, your nafs has a right upon you. You got to sleep, you got to eat, you got to whatever the fundamentals of life to sustain yourself is compulsory to have that. You cannot take it away. Sharia does not tell you to take this away. The second one is hudud. Hudud means luxuries, delights, pleasures. This is where mujahada is directed to. Those excess that we have in our life, this is where we have to make mujahada. Very important. So mujahada is not towards the faraiz that we are supposed to do. It's for us to eat to save your life. It's for us to sleep. Allah says in the Quran, you must sleep. Allah never told you to spend the whole night in ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the Quran, we have created the night for you to rest. That's not mujahada. Because what will happen, if we're going to do this type of mujahada, which are now the haq on our body, then we're going to do nawafil, we're going to do other things which will deviate us from the faraiz. Because we're going to fall sick. When we fall sick, the namaz we won't be able to do. So this is why it's important that we understand in our mind what Sharia is telling us to make mujahada, what Sharia is telling us to strive, to kill our nafs. What it means here is these are the fundamentals that we have to keep in mind. The first category, the physical mujahada, there are four types. I'm going to explain it inshallah next week. Four types of mujahada we have to make if we make the physical mujahada. One, the ulama explained, if we make that, it will help us to control ourselves internally. The first one is to eat less, qillat ta'am. The second one is qillat kalam, to speak less. The third one is qillat manam, to sleep less. The third one is qillat ikhtilat, to mix less with people. Four things. Next week we will talk on that, inshallah. This is for the first category, that is the physical mujahada that we must make to control ourselves. The second one, the spiritual mujahada that we're talking, mujahada nafsi, or the opposition against our desires, our nafs, there are two types. The first one is that both are canalized towards developing internal qualities, which I mentioned early on. One is akhlaqi hamida, the good qualities, like patience, shukr, tolerant, overlook people's harm over you, etc. This must be inculcated in a person. The other one is akhlaqi razila. That is a bad habit that we have in our heart, like arrogance, envy, jealousy. This type of manners, these are spiritual diseases that we have to take out of our heart. So this is the whole, this is the beauty of the tasawwuf, aadmi banna. This is what Mawlana Shafi'i Thawi rahmatullah alayhi says, if you want to make Allah, don't come by me. If you want to become a human being, you come by me. We have to understand what we are doing, which direction we want to go, how we become a human being. This is why the link of our heart is a seat of understanding all the things. If a person does not clean his heart, it will be very, very difficult for him to understand how to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. We must know which road to take to go and fetch it. And this is the road of purifying the heart. Remove all those bad habits from our heart and put good habits in our heart. This is what we call mujahada. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, those who strive in our path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely help them. Now what does it mean of strive? Islam is very practical, brothers. A mother, many of you got married, you have children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you children. The baby wakes up at night. It's wee wee at night. You must change him. Now you are so tired, the whole day you're tired. Now you got to wake up 3-4 times at night and the following day go and work. At times you get the whole night you don't sleep, especially they got teeth difficult. Those who want to get married, you don't know what you are in for. If you say that those who are married, they want to get out of it. And those who are not married, they want to get into it. So mujahada? Because this child is an amanah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This child is not ours. It's Allah's banda. It is an amanah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are looking after. This also is mujahada. How come, explain to me, for 3-4 months, the first 3 months, the child is not stable. It takes about 3 months for a child to settle a bit. Isn't it? Those who are married, got children, will know. About 3 months, minimum. For these 3 months, brothers, where are we getting this energy to go and work the following day? Where this energy is coming from? Huh? We call it Tarawih. We think we can't read Tarawih. But one day you can then get shock of reading Taraweeh. Not only Taraweeh, now we wake up for Tahajjud as well. Who is giving this energy? We make the first step for the pleasure of Allah. But Allah enhances us. Allah opens our heart. This guidance that we're talking of is in all facets of life. To strive in the path of Allah, Allah opens a whole vista of His barakat, of His favors upon us. This is why Mujahada is of utmost importance to start the path of suluk. We must know that, as I told you early on, there will be two aspects of mujahada that we have to concentrate. One is the aspect of the physical mujahada, which inshallah next week we're going to talk on. Then the other one is the internal aspect of mujahada, which we have to make. It's not a question of just controlling temporarily, no. It's a question of, by we doing mujahada, we have to understand, by controlling our nafs, by controlling our desires, this will make us come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to understand that there are rules of maslah, masail regarding all those mujahada. There are rules and masail on that. It's not just we do whatever we want. No. Inshallah, we're going to develop this subject further, inshallah. Before I end, I just want to tell you one thing, which I very important thing, which I read by in a book about a great wali of Allah. His name was Dhunnun Misri. He said that corruption enters in man in six ways. If these are the things that will prevent us from doing mujahada. These are the things that will prevent us from struggling within our inner self for the pleasure of Allah. The first one, he says that, and that's really true, and especially when I ponder on myself how true it is, we have weak intention in performing deeds for the akhirat. Our intention is not pukhta. We don't have real firm intention. We come and in namaz, but in this namaz we meet people, we're going to talk. If we are really intended to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, we want to make sure we make our wazoo properly, we use our miswak. How many of us make our wazoo at home? We come and do the wazoo in the masjid. We've got to understand the masal being wazoo in the masjid. Me too, I'm to be blamed. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there was no wazoo khana. Wazoo khana was introduced in the time of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. Because of Musafir. Go to tarikh, you will see. Which means the real sunnah is to do wazoo at home, not in the masjid. The masjid is not a place to do wudu. So first stage, we leave home, we drop a sunnah. Number two, there are people who are giving money to pay the water, the electricity of the masjid. How we contributed towards this? The very first thing, our niyat to make namaz is our niyat sahih. If we really fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm talking for myself first, brothers. If I really fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I should have done my wudu at home and pay my own water and do my wudu properly according to the sunnah. Right. On the road, our niyat is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, we want to talk, we want to relax. That also, the sunnah will go. And we'll try to catch up the second rakat or the third rakat or the fourth rakat. Right. Just see our niyat, just ponder for 1 minute, the niyat that we are making when we come to masjid. So this is the first thing which we are a prayer of, our intention. The second one is, we hold our body hostage for our lust, our desires, control our bodies. The third one is, we remain full hope of worldly gain in spite of nearness of death. The nearer we go to death, we still have hope we're going to acquire this wealth of the world. Our heart is attached to that. I don't want to go too much giving examples. The fourth one is, instead of pleasing Allah, we're pleasing human beings. The fifth one is, we follow our desires without taking into account the sunnah of Rasulullah. And lastly, he said, which is very, very true also, we try to defend our failings by invoking the few shortcomings of the early Muslims while we forget to mention their good deeds. We look at the shortfall for it to substantiate our wrong that we are doing. These are the six avenues, if you think properly, prevent us from doing mujahada. Very, very important to ponder upon. I'm going to stop here today because of time is running. Next week, inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives tawfiq, I'll talk on the very first one, qillat al-ta'am. There's so much to talk on that. I'm the last one to talk with my, but we are last one. I'll ask for your dua. Give me barakah, give me tawfiq to put on what we said. Next week we're going to talk on the very first mujahada that we got to do to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to eat less. When you eat more, I'm going to give you, inshallah al-aziz, about 7 spiritual harm of eating. 6 to 7 spiritual harm that Mawlana Shafi'i Tamir rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned in Behesti Zever. 7 spiritual harm in eating, overeating, maaf, in overeating. We're going to discuss this next week, inshallah al-aziz. Let's make us ponder a bit about Allah in our heart. A few seconds. يا أول الأولين ويا أخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا أرحم الراحمين يا بديع السماوات والأرض يا حي يا قيوم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال ربنا زدنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وحلالا وطيبا وعملا صالحا وتقبلا وشفاء من كل داء وقلبا منورا ولسانا ذاكرا وإيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا وخلقا حميدا اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان ولك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك